everyone. My name is Michelle Stevens, and I'm here tonight. I get to guest host on Your Home Group. We're so glad that you are with us tonight and excited about the topic that we have. Tonight, we're going to be talking about marriage. And your questions will be answered right here. I get the handy dandy iPad tonight, so I'm excited to hear your questions. The topic of marriage, there's a lot of said that about marriage this time of year. It's obviously Valentine's Day, romance, dating, and that loving feeling. So often, society does define marriage a little bit differently and opposite about what God's Word said. One of my favorite scriptures, and I use this in my own marriage, is he who finds a true wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Whether you're single, married, divorced, or widowed, I believe that tonight's program will bless you or at least give you another perspective. And tonight I have with me a lot of my friends. So when you're here texting, make sure that you text us 682-302-1301 or go to askhomegroup@govictory.com. We want to hear from you because this is your home group. So participate with us. So my friends here tonight with me are, of course, Cynthia Villaggio.
I'm back, guys. I'm back.
And Terry Bailey.
Hi.
And Lauren Gatlin.
Hello.
And of course, Brittany Jester.
Hey, everyone.
So I bring them on because they're so much fun and we have a lot in common and we get to hang out together and it's going to be a good night.
Yeah.
Talking about marriage. I want to start tonight's topic off with a clip number one there with Brother Keith Moore, because it really sets the tone here for what we're going to be talking about. So we'll start with that and we'll be back.
Many people today don't bother to get married. Many millions. And many, if they get married, there's no substantial commitment. It's like, you know, if it don't work, it doesn't work. There's no understanding at all of covenant. And I realize that we have, you know, many people that have been married and divorced and remarried and perhaps a number of times. And some when people weren't Christians and some when they were. We've all made mistakes. And it's not about looking at the past. But how many think if you enter into marriage with someone, you should be serious about it? Yes. And you should do it as a covenant before God. And if both of you are serious and enter into a covenant, you three, you, your spouse, and God. And is He able to keep you? Yes. If you'll maintain that commitment to that covenant, can He sustain you? Yes. And we see people around here many times standing up saying, been married 40 years, been married 50 years, been married 60 years. Well, they took it seriously. Right. Is that right? Yeah. And there was something strong that was holding. That enabled them to withstand the storms they encountered. Because no matter who you are, you're going to encounter some storms.
So covenant, ladies, there it is. Mm-hmm. Very strong word that's going on even this year as Brother Copeland's been talking a lot about covenant.
Yes.
There are different types of covenants, but the marriage covenant. And he talked about the world is taking it, you know, they redefine it. They don't take marriage seriously. Do you find that to be true, Terry?
Definitely, because you look at your celebrities even. And your celebrities, a lot of times, which a lot of people in the world model themselves after, they have families together, mm-hmm. Either biologically or adopt them from other countries. They bring children into the, and they haven't made a commitment, a covenant. It's almost like, too, sometimes people are afraid to say, I take this seriously. This is important to me, even in the world, without saying the word covenant. And what they're doing is they are living together and not discussing, like we were mm-hmm. talking about, Lauren, before the show. They're not talking about the important issues, where if you take it seriously and you do not have sex before marriage, you're entering in and you start negotiating. You start saying, okay, whose house are we going to spend at Christmas time? How many kids do you want to have? You know, are you allergic to cats or dogs? But for some reason, we think if we could just slide them in there, that's just kind of, let's not talk about that because we're not sure how they feel about making a commitment.
Well, commitment is more than just saying the word, but words are important, don't you think, Lauren?
Yeah.
The things that you say, the things that you talk about. You talked about this earlier about knowing your partner before you make that commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for Quest and I, it was never an option. It was just this God force that put us together. And it was like, I didn't see myself with anybody else but him. And that was, you know, a little immature maybe at the time.
Kind of that's real.
Love at first sight thing. But I mean, I had a daughter who was almost one when I started going to church. And that's when I met him. It was serious for us. We weren't just going to try each other out.
Right.
Oh, it was a lifetime decision. Just like you said, it was a decision.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to remind yourself of that decision every day. That's how you were saying earlier.
Right. What are you saying? I don't have to do that.
That's right.
Yeah. She gave it away. Okay. I was saying because Brother Keith Moore was talking about you are going to go through things, and marriage does have ebbs and flows. And there are times where you're going to have really high highs and you're going to have really low lows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember early on before Greg and I got married, we had gone through something through premarital counseling. And someone said these words to us. They said, if you can make it through this, you can make it through anything.
Hmm.
And those words were so powerful, they never left me. Mm-hmm. They never did. And we did go through some really low lows. There were some decisions that were laid before me at times and probably before him. But I always remembered, we made it through that. We can do this. And and our commitment to each other, but our commitment to God. But it is a vital thing that, like you said, you make a determination that when we do get married, that we're going to stick this out.
Yep.
Right,
Cynthia?
Right.
Absolutely. I think that... Brother Copeland has a series called The Blood Covenant, and everybody should be required to hear it, listen to it before they get married, because if they would understand covenant, and we do not understand that in the Western world, like people do in, Africa or even Australia, certain places where indigenous people are, where they have gone centuries and centuries, even in certain European countries, where they've gone centuries of cutting that covenant with someone else. You don't break that. You don't break it for generations.
It's all in.
You're all in, because if you break it, there's a problem. Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah.
And people, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But people don't ever, they don't take it as serious today. No, covenants are made to be broken. Covenant is just a word, a flippant word for most people today, because everything has changed. They change this, they change that. We'll do this and then we'll break it, and then we'll do this and then we'll break it. And that's why lawyers make so much money, because people are forever breaking covenants.
And another
But
another thing too was with the covenant thing, it's like, I'll give half, you give half. We're a whole. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. And I think that's where the Western world gets it confused.
Right.
Aside from the fact that they probably have no idea what the, whole, I guess, ritual or traditions of that covenant is. So
it's interesting that you say that. We got a text question in here, and it really isn't a question, but a statement. It says, marriage is not a 50-50 arrangement, but 100% mutual surrender.
Yeah.
Exactly what you just said, right, Brittany?
Well, that's 100%. Right. Just like the scripture says, the two shall become one. That's in every single part of your life. All of you, all of him become one in every single thing that belongs to you and every single thing in your family is one unit. And it has to be that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not all in.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, my mom told me too one time. She said, Terry, it's not always just 100% even. You know, if your partner has a catastrophe in their life and they are at negative, you got to be 200%. And my mom told me that. So don't ever expect
Fill in the gap plus.
Because the two of you became one. So there may be times where you have to carry a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's really good. Brother Keith Moore has something else here. Clip number 3. He says, what does it mean to be holy, especially as a wife? And so we're talking about marriage and about the covenant and what our roles are in that. And so we're going to go to this clip with Brother Keith Moore, and then we'll be back right after that.
Look to Abraham, your father. Look to Sarah. Look to those as examples. Well, let's do it. Go to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Let's look at them. 1 Peter 3, verse 5. 1 Peter 3:5 says, after this manner, Well, let me back up to verse 4. I kind of jumped ahead. Talked about, let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5. After this manner in the what? Old time. How old are we talking about? Way back. Way back. The holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, well, that's a politically wrong word, calling him Lord. You got to be kidding. I know you're joking now. If you think I'm calling Bob Lord. Why am I saying this? Whose daughters you are? Did the Bible say, look where you come from?
Okay, well, there we are, ladies. Now you can call your husbands Lord. You might get more chocolate for that on Valentine's Day. I don't know. All joking aside, though, there is roles that we do play, right? There's roles in our marriage, and they're God ordained, right? Yeah. All the way from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, came how we were created in marriage covenant. We have a text question here. And again, we want to take all of your text questions. Please join us today. We have a lot of things that we want to chat about. Text at 682-302-1301. And then also ask home group at govictory.com. Just type that in. We'll take those questions as they come in. I've got them right here. So I have one here that we want to kind of touch base on. How do you trust again after being married for 30 years and then divorced for emotional abuse? Now, I've not been divorced, so.
So, how you trust again?
I'll leave it to you guys.
So, how you trust again? So, I've been in that situation, and you cannot take what happened in the past with you into your future.
That's right.
Because if you grab that past, and people do this a lot, well, the minute something happens, well, I'm putting up with that because I've seen this before and I'm not going to ever, you wreck the whole thing. You have to take this person, first of all, you're going before God and you're like, send me a sane person, please. Mm-hmm. And so once you get this person, now you have to go ahead and take them as somebody brand new. You cannot dig that other stuff up. Same thing for him. He don't want your baggage anyway. It's going to make the whole marriage a mess. You can't bring your baggage. You got to burn the baggage. Leave the bags at the station and get on the train without it. And trust again. And as soon as you see something, because the devil will make sure you see something that reminds you of back then. And you're going to take it wrong. You said what?
Yeah.
Now, so case in point. My phone went off. My husband went like this. What are you doing with my phone? Give me. Because the thought of something that had happened before. Mm. It's like, why are you doing that? It had nothing to do with anything. Yeah. But I had to realize, he's not like that.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I was still a little bit twitching about it.
I was like, yeah, you do.
Hey.
Well, she talked about a little bit about emotional abuse, and that's, there's a lot of different types of abuses that do occur and that can occur. Mm-hmm. And none of it's good.
No.
All of it's
emotional is horrible.
But emotional is a little bit different animal, isn't it?
Yeah. Emotional, basically what you're talking about is you're talking about a cheating on you. Okay. That's emotional abuse. It can be also too that nothing you do is correct. Mm-hmm. Nothing you do is right. They're constantly telling you, you can't cook, you can't dress right. Everything about you. And so, yes, I dealt with that myself. I was married 19 and a half years, okay, and lived together. That was before I did it God's way, okay, for a year and a half. And God's way is the only way that works, I just say.
Yeah, it is.
And so the thing was, is God told me, and I was working full time and I had 4 kids. And he said to me that the time when I was divorced, and I actually thought, I am never, ever, ever getting married again. I'm not doing this. I will go celibate right into heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And Lord, it's you and me. And God told me,
Because I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'd be on my face crying, okay? Till I met my husband. I talked to one other man on the phone in 6.5 years, okay?
Wow.
But he said, you need to rest. And I thought, I'm resting now? Because what people don't realize is marriage is an occupation.
Hmm.
Not only is it a covenant, it is an occupation because it's a full-time job.
Hmm. That's good.
And if you don't go into it as covenant and a full-time job and I'm going to do this well, like
I'm
you would do, I am committed to this, then you might as well not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so God had to repair me first. So
that's a good word right there, repair.
That's the mistake a lot of people do. They're running out and going to go date and go, and you are a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Until you decide and give it to God, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I didn't really want to get married again. I said, God, here's the deal is you've got to fix me. And it's me and you raising these kids. Until you say, Lord, if I never get married again, if I never have sex again, and I go, he told me, come to me, talk to me. I have all the answers.
Hmm.
And so it's when it's you and God, and that's the same thing when you get married. It's you and God because you can't be a good wife until you have a good relationship with him.
That's right.
Well, a lot of text questions are coming in, so we want to address those because this is your home group. So we want to make sure that we're addressing those. We got one that comes in, and she says, Hazel says, how do I know if a man is godly, Brittany?
Godly? I think you just have to look at their actions. You have to look at their personality. You have to look at every single bit of who they are. I mean, they will exude Christ. A Christian is meant to be like Christ.
Well, don't you think, though, a lot of people can go to church and put on that kind of persona? And
that happened to my sister.
Right?
She was fooled. Yeah.
She was fooled. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
mind you, time helps, and you judge somebody by their fruits, like you said, you know, different aspects of their life. I think, no, I'm not going to say what I think, because... I'm lining myself up. So I'm just going to stop myself. I'm going to practice that weakness right there, you know? So that is right.
Well, I think that's a good thing, too. Don't you think seasons? I always tell people, you know, when you're dating, it's good to go through seasons, to go through an entire year. You want to see what that how the person is through a season, don't you think?
I've heard it said that you never marry anybody unless you get them mad. You have to see how they are full-blown anger.
Oh, I don't know. Wow.
That makes a lot of sense. That didn't happen with us. Yeah. We would have gotten married 2 weeks after, you know, but
and that was us
for
too.
The position we were at with, you know, him being a PK, we wanted it to look, you know, like we took our time, but it was God. So no matter how long we waited, no matter how much, you know, we rushed it, you know.
But don't you think just looking for a godly mate is you have to have yourself prepared first?
Yes,
definitely.
That.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think in the seeking of it, it's I'm preparing in that time, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Are you a godly mate?
Ooh.
Okay, then. All right.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
That's probably why, I don't know if we were talking about this before the show, how you said the Orthodox Jewish people would bring in those people who were engaged for a whole year to prepare themselves.
Yes. Yeah. So the older women would take the bride to be, and they would show her what it was like to be a wife, all the things that it entailed, how to be a good Jewish wife. And then the older men of the synagogue would take the young man and teach him. And that may be something we miss in society today. And, you know, when we take marriage and we put it in light of society and say, well, they don't know what that is. Well, have we really done our job?
No, it's discipling.
Colossians 3:15 says, let peace be your umpire. I don't care how much he is coming to church or she is coming to church and looks like she's doing everything and he's doing everything. Somewhere in there, there ain't going to be no peace. There's going to be somewhere in there, you're going to slip and you're going to find out. But when you get into that la la gaga thing, he's so wonderful. And look, he stands up and he prays and everything. I don't care about all that. Like you said,
test him.
Look. My husband was so tested with my daughter. My daughter would have that time when she was like, and the fact that he stayed around.
Oh, I know.
My
kids were horrible, too.
I mean, they're the closest today of anything. But boy, she'd get to that time of the month and she'd put him through a ring. And he was just hanging out with us, visiting us. And, but he stayed. I remember he left my house one time and said, your daughter, but hey, that's the wrong word. Don't call me and say, your daughter.
Yeah.
But I listened.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll take care of that. But don't accuse my kid, because I've already been through stuff. You accuse my kid, I might have to come after you.
That's right.
You know, but I knew what he was saying had some weight to it. And so I had to talk to her about, hon, when you're like that, you need to go lock yourself in the room. You know, you need to learn how to handle this. So I had to teach her how to handle her emotions and the ebb and the tide. I mean, she was just a kid. Well, she was old enough. She was 18, 19.
A lot of text questions coming in, and I want to get to those because this is, again, your home group. One says, isn't there mutual submission?
Yes.
Like, she says, Taffy Dollar teaches about, instead of the traditional roles after the fall, there's mutual submission.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because submission, it's getting under the mission of someone else. Mm-hmm. So there are things that he submits to you, and there are things you submit to him. There is mutual submission.
Mm-hmm. Keith Moore has a great clip on this, and I want to go to that. He talks about why don't people like to refer to women as the weaker vessel. This is clip number 5. So we want to talk about a little bit about what that means here after we watch clip number 5 here with Keith Moore. We'll be back right after that.
Verse 7, likewise, you husbands. Is he talking about the same thing? Is he talking about the old way? The eternal way? Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. It's completely politically incorrect to refer to your wife as weaker in any sense. So these verses are just, for all intent and purpose, blotted out by many church-going people. Right? It's also why they are not able to get answers for some things.
Amen. Come on. Good word.
And why some things just simply don't work.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, I got something for that.
Okay, let's go.
I got something for that. Because the ISV says, in a similar way, you husbands must live with your wives in an understanding manner, as with a most delicate partner. Mm. Honor them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may interfere with your prayers. We get hung up on that word, and it's King James. And yes, there's some things in translation. So the minute you see weaker, you call me weak. That, you know,
I'll show you how strong I am.
You're tripping out. But if you really would look at it in some other translations, when it says a most, listen, I want to be treated as a most delicate partner.
Uh-huh.
Delicate I am.
Yes,
I know.
You're so delicate.
So delicate.
And if y'all believe that, okay, we are delicate.
Okay.
But it said honor them as heirs with you. So there is the equality there.
Yeah.
Their heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may interfere with your prayers. So he's got to be really nice to me, or his prayers are jacked up.
Didn't you say something about weaker?
You did say something, Lauren, about being weaker.
Because weaker in the definition of it means sensitive.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. I think we are more sensitive.
And I wouldn't even just limit that to emotions, but
spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Moms, women kind of pick up on, picking up
on because I don't know if it's inbred in us or if it's trained in us, but that's why even before you get married, the other question is you ought to be going, you're like Holy Spirit checking out, always checking out. And we do that when we get in a room. We're checking everybody out.
Right.
Where everybody else is at emotionally, the whole thing. And men, they got purpose. They're going for it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we're different.
We are different. If we go back to the original, what's the original? Adam and Eve, where we were created in Adam. And both were created in Adam before they were separated, remember? Mm-hmm. And so all those elements were in him. And then God said there was one thing that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And it was at what?
That man should not be alone.
And so God said, let's separate. So he separated. That doesn't mean that one's weaker than the other. It just means we have different roles, different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're both good.
That's
both good, right?
That's right.
We celebrate men.
Amen.
All right. A lot of different comments and texts that are coming in, and we want to get to those. So please keep coming. Keep them coming. We want to get to these. Here's one that says, is it wrong for a couple where both are believers to go to separate churches, or should the wife always follow her husband? I don't have that problem.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't have that problem either.
I did with my last marriage. Okay. And we were going to a Bible church, and I was born again, spirit filled. We were both Catholics to start with. Okay. Hmm. And it became an issue, and it became especially when it was the Bible church I was going to. One of them, and we switched, said there was no hell. And I was trying not to offend him with the praise of the Lord and everything. And then the second one, they didn't have a good children's program. They didn't do background checks. They had the Sunday school class mandatory that you took care of the kids. And they would go one-on-one taking kids to the bathroom without background checks. And they didn't really want to be there. And so I said, I've been going to two services. I'm pregnant with my second child. You can follow me.
Yeah.
Because this is where I'm led to go, with where we have spirit filled or so that's what we do.
Brittany, does that fall under something like being unequally yoked?
I would think the scripture that comes to mind is where there is no vision, the people perish. If you can't have a unified vision, how can your unit really be strengthened?
Yes.
I think it is individual. Every person has to decide if they are strong enough to go through that.
Yeah.
But why put that strain on your marriage? You had to have a unified front together.
I know of it firsthand. In there is someone in my family, mm-hmm. and the husband and wife do not attend the same church. He pastors one, she plays the music at another. Mm. They both met in the church that she's still in.
Mm-hmm.
He went on, he had a degree in this, degree in that, you know, more degrees than a thermometer. But anyway, he went ahead and, you know, I have my own thought about it. He went on to become a doctor of theology, you know, which means a PhD. Oh, gosh, no, I shouldn't say that. I'd be like Lauren. I won't say that. Anyway, became doctor of theology or doctor divinity. I don't know. Whatever it is. And he went and he pastored this church. And it was one of those churches where they vote you in or out. And he pastored another church and they vote you in. I remember one, we went to the whole ceremony. They wrapped the thing around him. And I said, well, that looked like bondage to me. But okay, whatever. And then he went, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's pastored maybe 3-4 churches. And she thought, I'm not going everywhere with you. You pastoring here, there, everywhere. You couldn't even stay where we were. Because he could have been an assistant. But he wanted to be the pastor, you know, with all 10 of his people in there. So she just didn't go.
Mm.
Now, I do see the strain in the marriage.
It's hard.
I do see the strain. They've raised the kids. All the kids are up and out. Last one's in college. But she stayed faithful to the church that she had been in. And she runs the music. And she just, occasionally she goes to him, but she's gone there. And, you know, okay, y'all got to understand black churches. David, why ain't you here with your husband? You know,
and she
thought, like, if y'all ask me another question. Okay, but I see where it does create a strain. It's a very hard thing to continue to do.
You can have a couple that's perfectly happy with going to the same church somewhere. Someone's not even paying attention.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there on their phone, hidden in between their Bibles, or too busy serving that they're not putting the word in them.
Right. That's good.
You know,
well, and marriage is spiritual. So the covenant is not just flesh, it is spirit. Mm-hmm. And so spirit first. And I think in order to strengthen a marriage, and that my personal view on that is that you together are walking after the Spirit of God in the same manner.
That's the way to have a successful, happy marriage.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I did go to two churches for the longest time, the one that fed me and the one to keep him in church.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard.
Well, we have a lot more here, so I want to get to a couple. One is talking about, you know, there's no condemnation here, whether you're married, single, or divorced, or remarried. So we have all these questions coming in. One talks about being remarried. When it comes to being remarried, where does the balance come in when your husband corrects your kids that you had before you were married to him and is not necessarily the same way you would have handled it? Seems to be a point of contention at times. So we're talking about blended family, obviously.
I grew up in a blended family, and I know that you guys have some of those, you've walked through some of these things. So where's that line?
Unity, up front. If you've got issues, you need to talk about it.
Yeah,
where nobody hears. Mm-hmm. Nobody hears, but above all, you need to honor your husband.
Yeah. So your children come first, or came first before maybe this marriage, right?
But the word comes first, and the word is to honor.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't married, but had my daughter out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. So for me, she didn't have anybody else to correct her as a father. So okay. she latched on to my husband as right. her dad before that time.
Yes.
But that's all she's known.
Yeah. Is it something you discussed beforehand? Obviously, you know,
I think
children.
You should discuss.
You discuss
you
it.
You have to see where this person is coming from, your parental
right.
ways, their parental ways. And sometimes it's a person that's never had a child and coming in and correcting your kid. Now, that's a little hard. You never had no.
And that doesn't necessarily happen before you can catch it. So you have to be mindful. You have to use wisdom. You have to use, I lost my word.
Discernment, respect.
Yeah, but I lost
well,
my word.
Well, child rearing, you know, and different things when, you know, that does affect a marriage, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Raising children can affect your marriage and what your roles are in that. And as the father, as the mother, as the disciplinarians, and being in agreement is a big part of that. But blended families is a little bit different. And then it's not.
Right.
You know, once that covenant is made,
that's
you're
right.
all one. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. And so what you need to do if you're having it, it comes up that you may have discussed certain issues before you got married, but a situation comes up that you haven't. So you do your very best to honor your spouse, and it's just like with us. We would never say or do anything that would dishonor anybody. So you need to discuss it behind closed doors,
right?
Showing them honor and telling them how that made you feel. And this next time, could we do this instead?
But you brought up something when we did this a year ago that was so nice that you said when you and Gene were getting together, that he came and sat down and talked to your kids.
Yes.
And he and came and
your
had
daughter
a conversation.
Was, did not, was giving Joe a rough time. My kids, I had to leave the room and started crying. They were being so rough on him and asking him all kinds of questions. And you know what? If they can't handle it, maybe they're not ready for the job.
Yeah.
Because that's their
job,
too.
It's the job.
And the kids have been through that divorce as well.
Yeah.
So they want to know who you, were you coming in here? What do you want with my mama?
Yeah. That's a real thing.
This is my mom.
Are you going to be nice to my mama?
Are you going to be nice to my mom? Because we've lived through other stuff. So who are you? And are you going to be good? And some of my daughter was probably just kind of, let's see, get him angry.
Poke him.
You know, my son was already out. He was already, God with you. He was already in the military because we're going to be married 22 years. My son is retiring from the military with 24 years.
Wow.
In April. So he was already out. And my daughter was there, you know.
Well, we still have a lot of questions coming in. We want to get to all of those. Again, text your questions to 682-302-1301 or email them to us at askhomegroup@govictory.com. We do have one lady here asking for help, and I do appreciate that. And we will try to help in any way that we can. This lady says, my husband and I took our marriage very seriously, but he is verbally abusive and refuses to get help. We are now separated, and I don't want to be divorced, but it doesn't seem safe there. Help. Any words of wisdom?
In a situation that's not safe, you are
stay out
of an unsafe situation.
Yeah.
Because a verbal doesn't mean it'll always stay verbal. A verbal can always escalate to a physical, and you don't want to be there for that.
No.
And there's no condemnation. There's no stigma on you because you're wanting to make this work. You're wanting to make it work, but two people have to make it work.
Right.
So if he doesn't want to make it work, and you're the safest thing for you right now is to be apart. You can pray for him. Pray that he see Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened and he'd know the hope of his calling. But your safety is first in this situation.
And especially, too, if you have children involved. Because if you have children, you're modeling all kinds of wrong things about how they should be treated,
right?
And what kind of a marriage they should be in.
What was that scripture you used? Let peace be your
Colossians 3:15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let peace be your umpire. Be your umpire. So that is something I always say. And there's no rush into divorce. I think that you have to be led to, of the Holy Spirit in order, you know, right. to move forward. And being separated is a good space to be in until you hear from heaven
until
on those situations.
Clarity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Lots of things coming up. Want to kind of move the talk around about our marriage roles and the things that we keep the spark alive in our marriage. So Keith Moore's talking about here in clip 6, what are ways to rekindle that spark? Like when you first fell in love. We're going to watch this by Brother Keith Moore and we'll be back.
People say, I wish I could get that old feeling back. You know, the flame has died down. Y'all are quiet. Between my spouse and myself, you know, we just, you know, like when we first met, like when we first fell in love. And the Lord helped me to see, what if you, the first time you met that person, they caught your eye, you started out like this. You went over to them and you said, I like your looks. You look nice to me. So here's my demands. I'm going to need you to do this for me every day without fail. And I'm going to need this. And every time I do this, I'm going to need you to respond like this. And I'm going to need... What about that great feeling that we're talking about? That feeling would be just like them, gone. Right? Guys, can you imagine going to a sensible lady and telling her that? What's she gonna say? She gonna look at you like you have lost your mind, because you have. Is that right? And she's gonna get out of there just as quick as she can. And she should.
Okay, talking about the spark. Have you lost that love and feeling? I know it's a song. I don't know.
I'm not even gonna sing it tonight.
Not gonna say it.
Not gonna sing it.
You know, but things do change, right?
But things mature.
They do mature.
You're mm-hmm. not supposed to still have that little Hallmark thing going on.
Yeah. That's what Hallmark's mature. For, to watch
that. That's what Hallmark's for. Yeah. But, you know, it changes. That whole, do you still get butterflies? Well, yeah, you might, but they're different.
Yeah,
they are different.
They're different.
I never really had butterflies. It was almost like I knew that I was whole when I had that relationship.
So
it was the most real that I could be. I mean, I never really had that, I can't talk around him.
I
felt like I was complete. And that, you know, and I think even now as I've matured in my marriage, I almost feel butterflies more.
Because now you know him better.
There's an adoration, I guess.
Yes.
There's an adoration.
So good.
Yeah. There it is.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
You should write a card.
Because I ain't had a butterfly nowhere in the room.
Looking at the
not
camera
one.
And just telling
not one
you.
Butterfly?
There was not. I was trying my best not to marry Joe. I was trying. Honest to God. I kept putting them off. And you know what did it? His sister-in-law was dying of cancer. Mm. And he went to Florida to help his brother take care of her. The whole choir laughed at me. They said, Miss Independent, you don't seem so independent now. You can't even function. I mean, I can't function. But when she passed, he called me up from Florida. We live in New York. And he said, Kathy just passed. Mm. I see life totally differently. What are we going to do? And I said, we're going to get married. And then I went, what did I just say? And we were married for, he came home January 30th. We're married May 30th.
Yeah, out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
It did. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know my heart was speaking.
Yeah.
Was saying that.
A lot of questions here that we want to get to. Some of them are asking, you know, if you're single, they're asking for prayer. And listen, there is hope. And somebody texted in and said, my uncle was 60 when he married for the first time. And They've had 25 years together, so don't give up.
Amen.
Listen, God has someone for you. If that is the desire of your heart,
that's right.
I know that God will meet that desire.
Yes, right? Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
So be encouraged with that.
Well, Abraham remarried.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He remarried, and then when people
had more children.
And had a bunch of kids after that. God fixes you, you are fixed. So.
Okay, we're going to move on. If I can see. How do you know when you find the person that God has for you and divorce is not of interest? I want the first to be the right one. How do you properly get to know them? So I think there's asking about, they just want to be sure.
They need to be friends.
Yeah. But is there a guarantee?
No.
Yeah.
It's never a guarantee. No. It's never a guarantee. You know, my mother used to tell me, be friends. Learn to be friends. And she said, her thing was, if you ever fall out of love, they're still your friend. And I went, well, that's interesting.
That's true.
But really develop the friendship. Joe and I were friends for 12 years. Mm. Is that long? I put him off. We were friends for 12 years.
You did good.
I did. Then when
12 years.
I said, no. Well, all of those 12, he wasn't asking. But we really were the best of friends. And there was nothing I held back from him because I wasn't trying to impress him. Mm-hmm. So he knew me. He knew me, the good me, the bad me, the raw me, the ugly me. He saw all of that. But most of the time, it's great. Because it's me. But we were best friends.
That's
what
was
Lord. Easy to get married to him because we knew each other as good friends.
Yeah. I want to get to another clip here with David and Nicole Crank. They have some really good things to say here. And a lot of your text questions coming in. We want to get to those. We're going to go to clip number 8. Do you realize when you're trying to get a reaction out of your spouse, is it really helpful? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up right after this.
So they said in a lot of relationships, love and hate really aren't that far apart. They're both really strong emotions, and there's still, you can't hate something if you don't care about it. You only hate the things that you care about. So even in the relationships, when we get into relationships, what scares people the most, and this is really stuff that makes you look inward, is being ignored. And so what they were saying is that a lot of times when you start to feel ignored in a relationship, you'll do something, we will do things to just get any kind of reaction in the relationship, and the kind of reaction we know how to get is we know how to push our mate's buttons, right? So if we're starting to feel ignored, if we're starting to feel like they withdraw or pull away, what we will do, not even consciously, is just to try and get their attention at all, we will go out there and we'll just start picking on them and saying stuff until they finally react to us. And that way, it lets our emotions know, oh, they reacted to me, they still care.
Okay, getting a reaction out of our husbands. I don't know about you guys, but it kind of reminded me of toddlers.
Yeah,
you know,
like a little children. Kid.
Mm. Yeah, I would never do that.
No, because I know the kind of reaction I'd get. I knew it.
Do you know something? I think on my own I push the buttons and I'm not even trying.
Well, we don't want to be pushing any buttons today.
No.
But we do have some serious questions coming in, and we do take these very seriously. So we do want to talk about a couple of these things. There are some hard things that do happen in marriage, some real life things that happen, and how to get through that. So I appreciate your vulnerability when you do text these in. One of this says, what do you do if the spark has disappeared and the hubby is watching pornography? And as a result, you don't want to sleep with him because you cannot compete or compare.
Because he's going to expect that you act like that.
Well, not only that, pornography, that was a big problem with my ex-husband, why I'm no longer with him. But pornography is more addictive than cocaine. Mm-hmm. And pornography, you don't have to please each other. So if you have a disagreement, go take care of yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they're having an affair with that person.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, they're in a fantasy world, so they're cheating on you.
So you don't have any intimacy. And when I say intimacy, mm-hmm. you knew him for 12 years, you talked to him, he knew you. The closeness, not mm-hmm. necessarily the sex part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The wanting to do, it just destroys a marriage.
Well, the sex part of marriage is an important part of marriage, but it's not the only part of marriage.
Correct.
Right?
Right. There's a whole lot that has to go on before we get to that.
And that subject is one-sided. You don't have any of that other stuff to see.
Right.
When you talk about intimacy, I always like to break it down like this, into me, see.
Yes.
You know, and it's the deepest part of you. It's the most vulnerable places that you have. I'm sure, you know, you share with your spouses. They know the deepest secrets that you have. Not just secrets, but the
desires.
The desires, the hopes, the dreams, the cares, the pain of things that you've walked through.
Well, see, he's walked into selfishness.
Yes.
That's what he is. The porn thing is a whole selfish deal.
Well, isn't that what everybody really wants? What everybody really wants in a relationship, male, female, single, married, what you really want is you really want somebody to study you, to know you. And Nicole was talking about something, but we all have every time you're with your spouse or anybody else, you have an opportunity. It's called a bid for attention. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to talk to you and you're looking at your phone or you're talking to somebody else, you just blew it. And 90% of the people that have problems with their marital relationships is because the spouse did not pick up on their bid for attention.
This goes right with a clip here with David and Nicole in clip number 9. How do you maintain a healthy marriage relationship? We're going to come back right after this.
If you want to have a relationship that is healthy and happy, it can't be done through Philippians 2 again. Don't let it be done through selfishness or your own personal agenda or motives. If you got somebody that loves you, celebrate that.
Right.
Tell them they're pretty. Right. Make notes to yourself to remind yourself. Use Siri and for everything else. Just tell it to remind you, to tell them that you love them. Send them a text.
Right.
Tell them how nice they are, because when you sow that kind of love, it'll come back to you. Good measure, pressed down. Shaking together.
and just, you know, one last thing for me to agree with that is a statement that I always say is whatever you did to keep them or whatever you did to get them is what you need to do to keep them.
All right. Whatever they did to get you, are they still doing that?
I'm not still cooking. I got my food, but I don't have to. He took over the cooking.
He took over the cooking. Well, that's a better deal.
He said it was by cooking in my terry cloth shorts, and I'm not wearing those.
No, we're not wearing those. Those are not in style.
I think the number one thing you have to do is learn how to communicate how they communicate.
Yeah.
What's their language.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the thing that you have to build on your entire marriage, because sometimes it alters and it changes as you grow, you know, and you have to know each other and to be able to look at each other and say,
study,
I understand what you're saying, and feel confident enough and not too vulnerable that you can stop and say, can you explain it more? Because I want to know, and I want to be able to take care of what you need, you know, and your needs.
That's one of the biggest things too in marriage, obviously, is communication.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's the number one
thing after Jesus.
Yes.
How to talk to one another.
Just how to talk.
And talk.
Just talk.
And make sure you're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband was a very quiet person, and mostly to himself. And I'd ask him, what's going on? Nothing. No, something's going on. So, you know, I'll push it till you say something. Say something. Because then if you don't do that, you're going to bottle it up, and it's going to be, and I'll tell him what's wrong with me, you know.
Yeah.
But I can get really quiet, and, you know, well, people do that all the time. When you see people quiet and withdraw, go find out what's going on.
They're hurting.
If you've got to have that communication going. Because you don't have that communication, you're going to have a problem at some point.
That's right.
It's going to just deteriorate and go down.
Well, we're not mind readers, right?
No, we're not.
It's important.
They aren't either.
And they aren't either.
No. Right. Oh, but amen.
I did like it when he said send a text. You know? Yeah.
And or just when you're dating.
Because you want to know that you're thought of.
That's right.
You want to know that you're on their mind at some point during the day.
Yes. So I heard two important things over here. One of them was study.
Mm-hmm.
And you should do that with your kids. You should do that with your spouse, most importantly. You know, and you should be looking for the Lord all the time, too. How is he communicating to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the other one was communication. And both of them are integral. And then you said, which I thought was excellent, Jean's.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Yeah, you're so good. Can I join your fan club? But a lot of times, we as men especially, I think, don't know where they're coming from. they're upset about something.
Yeah.
Okay, but they've buried it so deep. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, what's going on? No, that's not it. Keep going. Tell me some more.
Yes.
No, that's not it.
It's opposite for Quest and I. That one.
You're that one where he has to dig down. Mm-hmm. But there is something, a root, but somebody's got to invest in you
enough
to know who you are, study you, and to know that I'm going to communicate with you, and I'm going to pull it out of you till I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know? So we did have a question come in, and he says, how did you know that your husband was the one? So I'll go to each of you on that one, Brittany.
I think I answered that earlier. I was complete.
Yes, you did, yeah.
I was absolutely complete. I was so comfortable. I didn't feel like I had to put on a face. I didn't feel like I had to act like someone else. I was myself completely and just felt complete.
What about you, Lauren?
Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, for us, it was just this draw. And I always explain it to people when they ask, we're like a jigsaw puzzle, and every piece I was lacking, he had, and I still feel like that. And just like you said, how you felt complete, I could just touch him, and I literally just feel better.
It's electric. Okay.
It is, but we are one. Yeah. I am part of him. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, and so that's
how we met.
I knew right away, too. He's much younger. He's younger than I am.
No, and you never know that.
He's younger than I am.
He looks so good.
I look up to him. I look up to him in so many ways. And I saw one of the things that I thought was cool, but there were so many other things. You just knew right away. You just knew that he was the one. But he had so many friends. He had so many people from different positions and high positions that would call him for advice and wisdom. And he had so many male friends that loved him. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like I've got him up here. I always have.
Now, you touched on yours earlier about being friends for 12 years. That's a long time.
Yes, but I trusted him. Mm. It was I could trust him, and I married someone younger too. Girl, yes. Yeah, so Joe's like
comparing notes over here.
Five years younger than me, five and a half, something like that. Yes.
That's awesome.
I thought I'd rob that cradle because you can mold people, you know.
Don't forget yourself. Don't forget yourself, Michelle.
This is the voice of reason. Yes. The voice of reason over there. She'll tame us.
Yes. Well, Pastor Greg, listen, for me, because I was not a vulnerable person, I was very guarded. He made me laugh.
Ah.
Jesus. And I just think laughter does good like a medicine.
Yes.
So
yes.
A lot of healing took place in our relationship, and not just him and I, but in me through him. Mm. And he was just a great person that I knew I could go to spiritually and also just have a lot of fun with. So, yes. And he's so smart. I love that. Okay. So I love that he's smart. I'm sorry.
No, this is great.
You look up to him.
You
so what you basically said, everyone here, is you look up to your spouse.
Yes.
If you can't admire, like Ephesians 5, I think 33 says, if you can't respect and reverence your husband, you notice him, you regard him, you honor him, you prefer him, you venerate, which means you give in to him and esteem him, and that you defer to him again. Mm. And then you shouldn't be involved. You shouldn't get married.
Didn't we talk about this earlier? Like, there's always the king or the fool inside a man.
Yes, we said
didn't
that
we talk about
before
this?
We went on the air. Yes.
Before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. So let's touch on that. It was Abigail. And she goes.
Oh, the Abigail. That's my girl.
Abigail.
Yeah, that's my girl.
There's a king and a fool inside each man. Which one are you talking to? Or you'll draw one out. You will draw out the king, or you can draw out the fool.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
But she didn't draw out the fool. He was fooled by himself.
He was a fool by himself.
But she
was a smart woman.
But she was a smart woman. She said, this boy's going to be something soon, and we ain't going to be getting cut out. So no way about my husband. Here's something, sir. She got herself into the palace. Yeah, Abigail's a smart woman. He was so stupid, poor man. But you know.
Well, there's that. I want to go to one more clip before we go off. Clip number 7, David and Nicole Crank talking about how do you change your attitude when you are dissatisfied with where you are in life. We'll come back right after this.
You know, a lot of times the enemy will come to single folks and tell you, you know, there's something wrong with you. You must not be lovable. You're not going to be happy until you're married. And the enemy always tries to put our happiness out there after something else happens. And the thing is, God really wants us to be really satisfied where we are now. You know, whether you're a guy, this is going to sound weird if you're a guy, but if you're a girl, it's going to sound more normal. Really, the first person we're married to is him anyway. And so anybody after that comes second. You know, so when we devote our lives to him, because first it's going to be you're not happy till after you're married. Then it's you're not happy till after you have kids. And then you're not happy till the kids are out of the house. Right? And then you're not happy until they have grandkids. And then our happiness just keeps getting pushed out by the enemy. And we just need to resolve to be like, you know what? God has me where I am in life right now on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to be happy where he has me on the way to where he's taking me.
Oh, I like that.
That's so good.
On the way to where he's taking me. Yeah.
That is so good. You know, talking about marriage, we're not just a half, we're a whole person. And whether you're single or not, you're still whole, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So we are a whole with a whole and coming together. Man, that is a powerful force. I think marriage is one of the most powerful forces on the earth.
On the earth,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
That's why God instituted that unit first.
That unit is first.
It's first.
There's so many things we can do in a marriage. I mean, and one of the aspects we didn't talk about a little bit was praying for our spouses.
Mm-hmm. And with.
And with them.
Because one puts 1,000 in two.
That's right.
Amen.
This is what makes us powerful, because mm-hmm. prayer is one of our biggest weapons we have.
Yes.
And if we're not utilizing that together, man,
we're
look at all the
out.
Damage we can do to the kingdom of hell. Yeah. We could do a lot of damage there.
Amen.
That's why the devil's trying so hard to break that covenant.
The covenant.
That marriage covenant.
Yeah. And it goes right back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
It is a covenant. Well, we just have a little bit of time here left. Just any final thoughts? We'll go to each of you, Brittany.
I think you just have to stand united. Like you said, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. You stand united and you learn to love one another and grow with one another and pray with one another. Can't be beat.
Mm-hmm. Lord?
Yep. And it's something that you have to make an effort to work on daily. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to happen on its own. Mm-hmm. You have to make an effort, both of you. You do.
Awesome. Terry?
I think that number one, you have to have a very close personal relationship with the Lord, because that's where everything comes
stealing
from.
Stealing my answers again.
I'm so sorry. We're just one over here.
It's fixing you with God.
Well, and you got Lord. Yeah, yes. you and God first, but you have to honor and prefer your spouse.
Okay, yes. Final thoughts, Cynthia.
I told you what she said.
Just what she said.
She really got in my head this time.
Well, this was great. Listen, we want to wrap this up. Listen, God is not done with any of us. He's still working on all of us. Both husbands and wives are heirs together in Christ, honoring and preferring each other as equal partners. So our prayers are not hindered. Invest in each other to prove that you're partnered, that they're important to you. Keep choosing to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit for what he wants in your life. Listen, next week is going to be all male panel.
Oh,
I'm going to be calling in on that one. Yes. They'll also be discussing love and marriage. But don't forget this, you guys. What do we say? God loves you.
We love you.
And
Jesus is Lord.
We'll see you next week.